Session number 8320.
Bill Davies, Reel 3. You were telling me about the aftermath of the incident when you were nearly drowned on Gallipoli.
Yes. We'd got down on a Saturday afternoon and we were having a real rest. That was the first rest we'd had. And I heard shouts of alarm and looked out, and there we could see a lad named, we called him Farmer Bell, and he came from Marple, and he was in trouble. And lots of fellows went out and tried to get to him, but we saw him taken. He had probably might have been a shark, or he just went and he was lost.
This was in the same current that you'd had problems with.
Absolutely,
Was
yes.
this quite common whilst during bathing parties that people should get drowned, or was it just people who swam out?
No, we were a bit foolhardy, I think. We never thought that there was so that there was any current at all or anything like that. But
The water was quite safe as long as you didn't go right out then, is that the
yes, I
case?
think it was all right then. Yes.
Taking it back to just after this first incident, when you yourself were nearly drowned,
Yeah.
when you got back to your clothes and your unit, what happened then? What was the next?
Well, I told the rest of the boys that how we had a job to get to the shore, and well, then we went up on the hill that Saturday afternoon and rested.
This is just above W Beach, is it?
Yes, just above W.
Were you in any sort of shelter?
None, no shelters. So the people who were not far away from us, they'd sort of dug into the hillside, and they had some shelter in that respect, but we didn't have any. Then, where did we go then?
How long were you there, approximately?
The next day was Sunday, yes. Sunday we went into a trench, not the front line, into a reserve line.
Do you know whereabouts on the peninsula it was?
No.
Was it a fully dug deep trench or?
Yes, a fairly yes, it was a deep trench. The whole of the battalion was stringed out, and that was a bad night for me, that Saturday night and the Sunday. That was it. We were all feeling a little bit, shall I say, nervous. Yes.
Had you been under fire yet?
That was the beginning of it. Yes, we had shells and odd bullets that were coming a bit closer to us, and we were safe enough, except for the shells when they were shelling with shrapnel, and then it would burst back a bit. And they were very accurate in the firing, the Turks, exceptionally.
How did you react to this first experience of shell fire? Did it make you said it made you a little nervous.
We were then windy.
This is a fairly throughout the battalion, there was a general feeling of just a
I
bit.
should think so, right through the battalion. Everyone was very quiet. There was no conversation, nothing at all. I was all right because I'd got something to do. I'd got 50 men to look after, so I wasn't so badly off. Except that during the night, I couldn't get my sleep in. The other lads could. They'd get perhaps 4 hours sleep and then 4 hours on. But I had to be up changing sentries. So I had very little sleep that night. And I was very glad when Stand To came on. And I felt I could have just done a cup of tea and had a good wash. We felt dirty. And we realised that we'd dropped into a, shall we say, a bit of a mess. Something we hadn't quite foreseen.
So you were, can I just ask, were you taken aback by the fact that you couldn't, the lack of cleanliness, the sort of dirty situation, the continuous danger? Was this what you meant by something you hadn't foreseen? Is that what you meant, or what exactly did you mean?
No, we sort of awoke to the fact that we were in a war when they started and they're firing at us night through, all night through. They must have. Then the next day, we went to relieve the 29th Division, and that was the front line.
Do you know which sector of the front line it was that you took over from them?
Right hand. That would be the eastern end.
Towards the
and
French.
We saw them, they marched off, and they looked at us. They looked relieved themselves. They'd had enough. They looked absolutely jaded. And we went in new and everything fresh and nicely geared, you know.
Did you march up in the communication trenches, or did you just go overland, overground?
No, we went up communication trenches right from the hillside. They were not difficult.
How wide were they?
Two abreast you could go, probably. And a fire step, too. Oh, but the communication trenches were reasonably wide.
What was the scene when you got to the front line? What did the trench and the... what was the scene? Where were the Turkish trenches, that sort of thing?
Sandbags. Sandbags in front of us. And we never dared to look over the top because people could get seen off, you know. Bullets hitting sandbags, you could see them, and they'd hit one sandbag and then keep on firing at that position in the hope that the sandbag had burst and all the sand would drop out, you see. That was a theory. That was where my cousin... He got shot through the head, and he was in the Lancashire Fusiliers. They were on the right of us, and I saw his body lifted over the top to take him down to Shell Gully to bury him.
How did this first example of casualties and the death of how did it affect you?
Not very much. No, didn't bother. Didn't bother. Our trouble was getting rid of lice, I think, as much as anything during the daytime.
Had lice come in already when you arrived?
Very, very quickly.
I'll come back to the lice, actually, because we'll deal with them with all that side of things. You say that the trench had sandbags in front. Did it have a proper fire step?
And yes, we had. They were well made and a good fire step.
How about traverses?
Yes, plenty of traverses, about 20 yards, I should think, between traverses.
So it was what you'd describe as a proper well-made trench?
Yes, a really well-made trench.
About how deep?
7 feet, I should think, 7 feet.
Were there any sort of dugouts in the front line, or did you just sleep on the bottom of the trench? Or did you have cubby holes burrowed out, or what?
No, we would rest on the first step, as a matter of fact, as much as anything. Yes.
Was there barbed wire in front of the line?
No.
Did you ever look through a periscope and see where the Turks were?
Yes. They were a long way off.
About how far?
500 yards, probably. Might have been more. Couldn't see anything. You could see their barbed wire. We had no barbed wire up as... I don't remember any. Because Captain Gover, he was then, Corporal Ryan and I, we got up one day and walked out right along perhaps half a mile up one end, and we turned back and we found some Turkish dead and two British dead.
Where did you walk? Did you walk along the British trench or out into no man's
into the
land?
Open. Right out into the open.
Into no man's land?
Yes. And then...
Weren't you fired on at all?
Yes. They started firing on us when we'd been out for a little while. When we found these two lads who had to be buried and the Turkish dead. And... somebody called out to us from the trench to say we had to come in. The brigade had said we were drawing fire and we had to come in. So we had to come in, and we felt like running, but Captain Gover just went on swinging his stick. Corporal Ryan was all right, and I think I was all right. And we walked along and got back into our trench. And then Captain Gover got a wigging from the brigade. He got told off. We didn't do that again.
How long were you in the front line for this period, approximately?
Where did we go after? Oh, then we went to the Esky lines.
Before we get to that, I'll just deal with the period and you said we'll look at sort of the conditions of life in the trench.
Oh yes, well, the lice soon started up, and I damaged my shirt somewhere or other. I don't know why, and I was walking along, and Captain Gover was sat down there with another officer, and he'd got his shirt off, and. I thought, he's busy, he was killing the lice off his shirt, you know. And he called to me, he said, David, do you want a shirt? So he saw that I was short of a sleeve. So I took the shirt and took it to where I was sitting. Had a look at it and it was in such a state. I got hold of it and took it back and threw it at him. I said, sorry, mine's better than yours.
Was this because his was tatty or because it was covered in lice?
Yes. So he had a jolly good howl about it. I said, never mind, we'll get another shirt for you one of these days. And it was a bit of a joke. And some of the lads had seen me doing this, you know. He said, you have a nerve taking it back. No, I did it. But it was really very bad.
The shirt was lousy, was it?
It was, yes.
How did you go about trying to kill lice in your clothes? How did you set about it?
Clearing them.
Hmm.
Well, two nails like that. And squeeze them. You're quite able to get a hold of them. Invariably, they were in the crutch, you know. That's the main thing. And then later on, they had crabs as well. They were very serious. Not nice at all.
Was it in the first period in the line that problem came up?
Yes, that started there straight away, practically, and no accounting for it.
Did it upset you at all?
Gave us something to do. And we did. We'd get a match sometimes and run them along the seams of our trousers, you know, and that was one way of getting rid of them. But the trouble was that you were losing your linings.
Burning. So that's like. Did you have any trouble with flies at all?
Not so much, no. We were. Captain Gover was very particular that no water of any kind, particularly urine, was to be dropped in the trench. We kept it absolutely dry. If anybody saw any water spilled, well, there was a real rumpus.
So you didn't have that much trouble with flies at this stage?
Not then.
Not then. To move on to the next thing, what about, was there any problem with rats at all, or did they not have rats at Gallipoli? Rats.
Wax.
Rats, R-A-T.
Oh, rats, no. No, no vermin, no.
What about maggots from dead bodies and things?
No, they were cleaned up pretty well. They'd nearly all been buried, you know. We were surprised when we got over the top and saw those Turks wanted burying, and now those two other ones. And
what was the condition of those bodies?
Oh, they were really bad. You couldn't hold them together.
This turn your stomach at all?
I was glad I wasn't burying them.
What about the smell, did they?
Well, the normal smell that was with us all the time. Filth.
Mm. You couldn't describe the pervading smell, could you?
No, you couldn't describe it. You couldn't compare it to anything, unless it was the smell of an abattoir, where they were killing cattle. There used to be a terrible smell sometimes. I used to go and watch them killing them at Chestergate.
That's the only thing you can compare it to. What about sanitation? The latrines? Where were the latrines situated in the front?
Latrines were... invariably they were the ones, the places where the shells were dropped. Because the Turks knew if we'd built a latrine, they knew that we would be going to it at some time or other. And always near a revetment, you know. And a little distance away, actually, running towards the sea, away from the trench. And dug pretty deep. And I think we dug particularly deep to take the urine away, and in addition, it was safer from shrapnel.
What form of latrine were they? What method was used?
A couple of pieces of wood up, and then another piece of wood across. No privacy or anything like that.
Were they kept in? Were they regularly maintained and covered and things like that?
Fairly well, just a bit, you know. It dug the trench a little bit deeper, and again, we're keeping the flies away.
What about your rations during this period in the front line? Did they continue to be adequate, and what were they made up of? What did people eat?
We had tea fairly frequently, three or four times a day, perhaps. Three times a day. Hard biscuits. A tin of bully between three, sometimes four. It was enough for us. Apparently, we broke our our biscuits up if we could, softened them, and ate them that way. Some lads could chew them straight away. They were good, solid pieces. Sometimes we had a McConaughey ration, which was a little bit rich and didn't suit us always. They were made in Scotland, I think.
Was the did you have much of an appetite for food, or were you hungry, or?
No, not hungry. No, thirsty.
Ah, water rations. How much water did you get?
We got that cup of tea, of course, and then water. About a Dixie lid full of water was our ration.
How big's a Dixie lid? Sorry, a cup size?
That depth, about.
3 inches.
Mm. It was very minute.
And that's all you got a day?
No, twice a day, probably.
Did you suffer much from thirst?
Yes, sometimes. Our water didn't come up one day. It had been sunk at sea. The boat that was bringing it from Mudras, and it was the only good water we had. There were no wells there. And that was the only water we could really drink. That was at near the Esquilines.
This was later when you were in the Esquilines, was it?
Yes.
Well, carry on anyway, yes.
Then, where'd we go then? Oh, when we'd been there a little while, a few weeks.
Oh, can you stick to the thing about the water, the day you ran out of water? What?
Oh, yes. Well, they told us we were going to have a double ration of water, so some of us had a shave. We'd been without a shave for a week. So I got my cup and used that and had my shave, and then I thought, now, perhaps tomorrow there won't be any water, we don't know. I'll not throw this away. And sure enough, the next day, the water was missing. It had, as I say, it had been sunk, and there was no water for us. So there was my water, and I took the top off, and another fellow and I divided it between us. So we had a drink that day, and the other lads didn't.
From the shaving water?
Shaving water.
I presume from this you didn't have much opportunity to get a wash, especially while you're in the front.
Oh, no. No chance of a wash. No.
Could you run through the sort of, during this period, sticking to the period you're in the front line, you know, at the early period, you know, before you went to the Esquilines, could you describe a sort of typical day, what you'd do from when you got stand down?
I can't really.
Can you pick out any odd things you'd do in the day?
No. Repairing the frontline trench, filling with sandbags, making sure that they were all intact, and using periscope. I had a periscope rifle.
Oh, did you used to snipe the Turkish lions then?
One night we did. We were told we were to use 3 rounds of ammunition each, and we all had to do it one night. And we started, and each one I had to see that each one got up on the fire step and fired his 3 rounds. Then he could get down again. And we all had to do that all the way through. And the result was that the Turks started, and they used ammunition galore, right on and on and on, all the night through. We'd finished, we'd started them, and they carried on using their ammunition. They must have had a lot.
Did you actually, when you were using a periscope rifle, did you actually shoot at Turks, or did you just shoot in the direction of the lines?
In the direction. Couldn't see any Turks. No, couldn't see any. No, not with a periscope. It was too far.
Did you suffer many casualties? There would be no bombing, hand bombing, obviously, because of the distance.
Not then, no.
So, this. What about artillery casualties from the shrapnel?
Well, the shrapnel came over, but didn't bother us.
So this first period in the front line, you were basically lucky and there were no casualties?
No casualties at all, not then.
What happened?
Oh, we had one fellow, Sergeant Herb. Sergeant. Yes, he got wounded in the early part on that Sunday. I don't know where he went.
Sounds as if the line was quite quiet at this time then.
Was quiet until we got them using their ammunition. And we were very cheered.
Where did you go from... You went to the ED lines. How long were you in the front line trench?
I can't remember.
But then... A month, probably. A month.
And I should think.
And then you were moved to the ED lines.
Yes. Then...
Where were these lines? Back near...
We call them Esky lines.
Esky, sorry, yes.
Esky lines.
Where were these lines situated?
They were further over to the left of us and further back towards the sea.
They were reserve lines then?
Pretty well. And we started to extend them up at one end and we went into open country kind of thing to make the Esky lines longer. So the thing was to dig them quick before the Turks knew what we were doing. And I, silly me, soft hands, a sergeant, done no hard work, got a spade and started showing the lads I was here with them, and we got on and finished the job. Well, those hands got very dirty, and blisters, and the blisters broke. And afterwards, all the skin left my hands, both sides. And it was all sticky, a sticky, shall I say, bloody mess. And when I got my rifle or I did anything, there it stuck to him.
Didn't this hurt a lot?
Hurt? Not much. No, I knew it was there. Then we went to, from the Esky lines, we went...